Good morning. We have a new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. And so if you'll permit me, because it only happens once a decade or every couple decades, I just want to offer just three little points of reflection and connected to the Good Shepherd on this Good Shepherd Sunday. The first is, when the white smoke came up, it was this immediate joy. And it was the same thing 12 years ago, being in St. Peter's Square during all of it, having no clue who the new Holy Father was, but it was a joy that we have a Holy Father. It was a joy that the seat of St. Peter is not empty anymore, but there's a Holy Father. And that was followed immediately by an anxious anticipation. It goes on for like an hour. And so just watching for the cardinal prefect to come up upon the loggia, and then they announce, Habemus Papam. And then in Latin, the great announcement of who had been elected the new Holy Father. And the first hint that you're given is they'll say the first name, and then it seems like forever later, 5 seconds or so, and then they'll finally give the cardinal and then the last name. And so they're announcing it. The cardinal is, and he says in Latin, Robert. And it was immediately then that I knew I was still in the running. But then they said, Cardinale Prevost. And it was absolute shock. I hardly knew anything about him. Small little profile I'd read. But I knew he was American. Prevost. That's wild. On Fridays, I have Mass at the nursing home, St. Ben's. And one of the sweet old lady, she had said afterwards, she said, can you believe it? I never thought in my lifetime I'd ever see an American pope. I said, in your lifetime? I never thought in my whole lifetime. It's incredible. It's a complete shock. But it's a beautiful thing as well. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a thing to have great joy over as well. Someone from our soil, from Chicago. I showed on Friday morning the grade schoolers a picture of a young boy, probably about 10 years old, and he was in his Little League clothes, and asked them if they knew who it was. They didn't. They thought it was me. They said, it looks like you. I said, no, it's our new Holy Father. When he was a young boy, when he was your age, and he played Little League baseball. And so it's the joy of having a new Holy Father. It really is. And that really we don't know a whole lot other about him than he's American, he's an Augustinian friar, and he's a missionary. But the one thing, my second point, that you learn a little bit about who this man is and how they understand the particular mission that the Holy Spirit is giving to them in this time and place is the name that they choose. And you learn the name they choose before you even see their face. Leo XIV. In which he said yesterday that it was because of Leo XIII, the great towering pope of the late 19th century, why he chose this name. Leo XIII was one of the longest serving popes in history, over 25 years, from 1878 to 1903. And he was a pope who he used again and again and again this image of the ship of the church. This is the image in many of these encyclicals, these letters he wrote to the church, to all Christians and people of goodwill. He used the image of a ship. And it's the ship of the church guided by our chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, but entrusted in an incredible weight of responsibility to the Holy Father to help guide this ship through the treacherous waters of the ages in which we live in this world. And it was in the context of that image of the ship guiding us through the rough waters of this world that his pontificate, Leo XIII's, was one that brought about an incredible intellectual revival within the church and a spiritual renewal within the church. Because he said that the ship of the church, that it must be in good condition, and that there had been many storms that had come in that previous century. The last 100 years, the church was still reeling from the horrors of the French Revolution, and they were in the midst, right then, of the great Industrial Revolution. And so an intellectual revival for the church, because now there were questions that were being thrown at Christians that they needed to have a way to speak the faith and the truth of the gospel to the world in a way that they could understand it. And the thing that Pope Leo XIII did was he revived the Thomistic tradition within the church as a way of speaking the truths of the gospel and of the faith of Jesus Christ to this world in a language that they could understand and that could call them to conversion, in a way of keeping the ship in sound order for all Christians in this world. And it was a spiritual renewal as well of the protection of the ship of the Christians, turning in a significant way to Mary, asking for her protection, as she is the mother of the church who protects us, turning to St. Michael the Archangel, you know, the Leonite prayers which are prayed at the end of Mass for decades, and asking for his protection for the church, and pointing to Jesus Christ, especially in the Blessed Sacrament. And so it was an intellectual and a spiritual renewal, knowing that the church, which had been through incredibly treacherous waters and had been beaten and battered, needed herself to be renewed and revived. And it was also to the world, in the massive changing of an age, that he spoke as well, especially in one of the most important encyclicals, Writings of the Holy Father to the World, Rerum Novarum. Because there are certain things in the history of the world in which there's a clear before and after, where the world is changed by something that happens, a revolution of sorts. And it was the Industrial Revolution. That changed everything, didn't it? The way that we live, the way that we understand our relationship with one another, with our families, and how that was based, and everything. The revolution, the Industrial Revolution, was this massive earthquake. And everything that followed from that. And it was in this encyclical that Pope Leo XIII offered the wisdom of the church to that age, knowing that the church has the wisdom of Jesus Christ that it's able to speak to and to offer to the world. Because the church, for thousands of years, has been through the changing of many different ages. And so in this encyclical, he spoke, and it was the beginning, really, of Catholic social teaching. He spoke of the rights of workers, the rights of private property. He condemned socialism, and he sharply critiqued capitalism. But it offered the wisdom of being able, as faithful Christians, working people in the world, to navigate the treacherous waters of this age. And so it was the name Leo that our new Holy Father took, indicating only that it was Leo XIII, and especially his encyclical Rerum Novarum, and the shifting of an age through technological revolution, that he knew that the church has wisdom to offer to the world as we navigate that. And of course, in our own age, it's a whole different revolution of technology. But it's Jesus Christ and his wisdom of how to live in this world, but not of this world, that he points to. There's one thing, and you know what? I might even figure out how to get on our Facebook page, and I'll post it for you. There was a synod on new evangelization in 2012 that then Father Prevost was at, and he was a member of, and he spoke and gave a little five-minute intervention, a little five-minute speech. And he spoke in the first couple minutes about the many problems and troubles of our age, especially in the realm of being able to evangelize to people who don't want to hear it in this world and what they're much more open to listening to. And then he gives, in the last couple minutes, a prescription. And he points to the wisdom of Jesus Christ, especially as articulated through the church fathers, through his own father, St. Augustine, being of his order. The last point is this. It's a one of asking for prayers for the church and for our new Holy Father. You saw, I'm sure, the video when Pope Leo XIV came out upon the loggia, and you could see his face clearly, and you could see the way in which the waves of the love of the faithful, the hundreds of thousands in St. Peter's Square, was washing upon him. But two, you could see the weight of the responsibility of the office that had just been placed upon his shoulders. A pastor is given care of a small little portion of the flock. You're not insignificant, but you're small. A bishop is given the spiritual care of a part of a geographical land. Ours is Western North Dakota. But all the faithful and all the souls in that area, they're under his care as shepherd. The Holy Father is given the spiritual care of everyone in the world, Catholics, Christians, and people all across the globe. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus has given us in the Holy Father, but it's an incredible weight. And so as he asked us for our prayers, so I ask them for him as well. That it's the Good Shepherd who leads us and keeps us in the hands of God. And you know, and Holy Fathers have used this image before too, the hands of God are usually understood in this shape of like this, right? Like the hull of a ship. And that nothing can take one out of the hands of God except for our own will. But it's the Holy Father and it's our shepherds who help to lead, to guide us, and to protect us so we're able to remain there in God's hands and to keep us focused on the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who brings us and who alone brings us salvation. And so he asked us to pray for him. In his first address, he asked us to especially pray for him and to ask Mary for her prayers. Yesterday, his first little trip was to a small little teeny town just on the outskirts of Rome, to the shrine of Our Lady of Good Counsel. And so we turn to Mary and we ask her to pray for our new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.